It's always interesting up here. God loves to speak. Did you know that God loves to speak to each and every one of us? Do you know that? He loves to chat with us. He loves to have conversation and fellowship with us. But sometimes we have to realize that we're not really answering His call sometimes. And that was something that the Lord put on my heart this morning, as I'm going to share, is when He calls, do I answer? When He calls, do I answer? Now, the Lord calls in many different ways, many different forms and things like that. But when He calls, do I answer? It's interesting because I'm sure many of us can relate to many stories that we've felt the Lord say, do something, or He wanted to spend some time with us, or we wanted to do something for Him, and then we just didn't answer the call, really. And that's okay. I'm not here to put condemnation on anyone. I'm not here to say, oh, you did wrong. No. I'm not here to do any of that. I'm just saying we can grow and learn from those experiences, from those things. Because He wants to use us in a mighty way. Did you know that? He wants to use us in a mighty way. So I'm going to give you a moment here. I want to give you a moment. I want you to think back, and this can be any amount of time. I'm thinking maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, maybe 50 years ago for some. I want you to think back of a time that you answered the call, that you're like, yes, the Lord asked me to do something and I did it. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Just think about that. Sometime in your past life, and maybe it was salvation, and that's awesome. Salvation is a wonderful thing. It's nothing to sell yourself short of. That's an amazing decision, amazing thing that God did. Or maybe it was leading someone to Christ. Or maybe it was praying for someone, they were healed. Maybe it was to share a word of some sort. I want you to think back over your lifespan and think about at least one time when God asked you to do something and you did it. You got something? Has everybody got something now? Everybody got something pretty much? Now I'm going to ask you another question. Who is brave enough to share it? Now, I don't have YouTube going right now, so you don't have to worry about that. But who is brave enough to share that experience? If you want to lift your hand up real quick. I want to see. All right, Sharon, we'll go. Hello. And I want a few people to share. Go ahead, Sharon.
I don't have to stand or anything.
No, you can sit. Right. You can sit.
When I was a teacher's aide at Oak Flat, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And her birthday was in July. I went to take her roses.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, a person just gets a dozen of roses. But
yeah.
I got two dozen.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was led to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, when I gave those roses to her, she started to cry. She said her husband used to give her two dozen roses.
Wow. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for obeying God in that. All right, someone else. Let's get Doreen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was between my sophomore and junior year in college, I lived up on campus at Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And speaker Tony Evans was preaching, and again, he gave an altar call. He said, God's wanting to talk to you about something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I went down, and it was not an audible voice, but it was the nearest thing to an audible voice. And he said to me, I put thoughts in your head about being a missionary from the time you were little.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, if and or but. You said, I want to hear a yes or a no. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Wow.
Willing to do this or not.
Mm.
And so that night, I said yes.
Amen.
Several days to work through the ramifications.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Thank you for answering the call. That's amazing. Yes.
I had an experience with God because I was going to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, don't go.
Oh.
And I thought, this is very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering even if it was the devil saying that.
Sure.
So, anyway, I thought, I'm going to believe this. This is an audible voice. I'm going to stay home. So mm-hmm. I stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
Then the phone rang, and a friend of mine from church was crying on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had just been to the doctor's with her baby, and she has water on the brain,
mm-hmm.
which it means her head's going to get real big.
Yeah.
And she asked me if I could come over. Well, I went over. Her husband was there. Her mother and father was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just handed me the baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just prayed. And the grandmother said, do you want some oil? And I said, okay, you know.
Sure.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I held the baby, and I prayed that the Lord heal.
Mm.
Cut your head and make her normal. You know,
mm.
and the next time they go to the doctors, they'll say, problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happened. And she kept calling me because she was having nightmares.
Mm.
And I said to her, I prayed every night. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I had a dream
mm-hmm.
that this little baby stood up in the crib
mm-hmm.
and said, all things work together for good that those believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her my dream,
mm-hmm.
and it canceled her dreams.
Wow.
Mm. And right now, the baby grew up. She has a couple of children.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The one that called me up is a grandmother, and
mm-hmm.
God is wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
I can't explain how many times
mm-hmm.
God did the impossible.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you for obeying Him, and thank you for sharing that. It's awesome that God did such a miraculous thing to something that would seem very impossible. Because, I mean, removing water from the brain of a baby is, we really don't do that very well in modern medicine, as well as our advances in technology. But God is the physician that heals all and does all things well. Amen. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Who else has something? Mike?
Well, 42 years ago, my wife was pregnant with Mike and Paul. Uh-huh. It was in the month of January, and it was snowing outside and everything. And we lived in Carlisle, and I get up in the middle of the night, and I was real sick. I didn't know what I could do and stuff. And I felt real, real, real strange. And I told her that I needed help. And she said, well, we'll go to the emergency room. I said, no, I need some kind of other help. And so I was Catholic, and I called the priest, and he said, well, he said, it's the middle of the night. He said, I can make an appointment for you tomorrow afternoon. And I said, no, I need help now. And I hung up, and the minister that married us, I called him, and I couldn't remember what his last name was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his last name was Sechrist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I come going through, and I couldn't remember how to spell it. And I looked in the directory, and it said C. Christ.
Yeah.
Not Sechrist.
Mm.
C. Christ. And I called him, and he said, I've been waiting for somebody to call for 2 hours.
Wow. Come on.
We got ready and we went to Mechanicsburg. And I walked in the door and I fell on my knees and I was crying. And he said, if you really believe, you heard and saw the word Christ, you will get baptized now. And I got baptized. And, you know, when you're Catholic, you get the sprinkle. So that's baptism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got submerged that day. And he said that in the future, many, many times, things are going to happen to you that are fearful, but will recover. And in my lifetime, I've been slowly writing a book that God has touched me physically and mentally over 20 times in my life. And the first time he touched me was I was born with cerebral palsy, and they said I'd never walk.
Wow.
And I was 2.5 years old. My dad was going to take my sister to the carnival, and I wanted to go. Well, he said I couldn't take you because there's too many people and you have to be in a stroller.
Yep.
And my dad had maybe like a skateboard for me to get around because I couldn't walk. I stood up, reached up, grabbed a hold of the doorknob, and I've been walking ever since.
Wow, come on. Amen. Well, so thank you. Yeah.
I've been touched a lot of times over the years, and then God takes me back to say, well, you know, that's in the past. It's in the past. And but he always comes back and makes me recover. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand, that he's always there to recover you when it's his time, not your time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Mike. That's great. I mean, definitely you can see the Lord's been on your life and doing some great things in it. So appreciate you for sharing and opening up about that. That's good. Anyone else have anything that they answered? Yes, Jackie.
And you encouraged me. And I got taken that Sunday. And I think in the 11 years he was here, he only missed like maybe 2 or 3 Sundays.
Wow.
Now he stopped coming every once in a while. I was just thankful that I answered.
Amen.
When he said,
yeah.
Little tiny voice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's just being obedient to God and, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and it grows older, he won't depart from it. I mean, it's biblical. So, yeah, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else want to share real quick? Yeah, Jack.
I sort of felt that I couldn't do anything. You know, I just, it's every day you do something. But to build something or to those kind of things, I was just a lost person. But somewhere, whenever we came to this church and then heard about Christ's You can't do anything.
You don't know nothing.
Well, it was just like God was dropping into me. Well, yeah, you know, here, you can do this. He gave me, I started opening and closing this church. I don't know how many years I did that. Many, many years. I mean, and it was just something.
Yeah. It's good.
This isn't a big thing. This is a little thing. But you can do it, and through the years, other things came on. Other things came on in my life and in Christ. All things. I don't know. I don't have a lot of money, but it seems like things would come up. They'd say, well, this poor person here, oh, they just have a need. And I can't tell you how many times in my life that's happened. And we don't have a lot. We just don't have a lot. But yet, there's somewhere, well, what's $100 or what's $50?
Yeah.
The Lord just gives you things that you can do.
Yep, that's right.
You may not be like Donald Trump and give a couple hundred million or whatever, but maybe you can give $50.
Yeah.
Or $100. Good. Thank you, Jack. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, it's amazing what God can do with us if we're just willing. That's all it is. I mean, some of us are called to do some recognizable things here on earth, and some of us are not called to do as recognizable things. There are some people that will never be recognized for some of those things. And it's okay. We're not doing it to be recognized. We're doing it for Him. And that's all we need. Because how much more amazing it is to hear from heaven, from our Father, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. Than from Pastor Van or Pastor Steve or someone, hey, good job. Thanks for doing that. It's not even on the same scope. It's not even the same place. Not even close. Because when we do things for Him, there's so much more fulfillment. So much more things. And I want to thank everyone for sharing those things.
for hearing and answering the call. I'm reminded of John 1 and verse 43. I remember someone else that answered the call. And I'm just going to read it out. You don't have to turn there. But the next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." God recognizes him, and he recognizes where we are. "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Jesus wasn't there. Jesus saw this in the Spirit, which is amazing. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe me because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then nodded, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Nathanael was one of the 12 disciples with James, John, and Peter and things like that, with all the other disciples. He answered the call. Everyone in this room has a story about what they're doing. You know, some is from 30 years ago, some is from 40 years ago, some is from 20, 10 years ago, about us answering the call. But I want to challenge you, and I want you to go further in this. Because it's not just about answering the call one time. Because he's always speaking to us if we're listening. He always wants to talk to us. He always wants to share about what's going on. And when we answer that call, when we go after him, when we have that relationship with him, we can know more and more about what he wants to do in us and what he wants to use us to do in others. I mean, think about all the times God used you to do something. In the last 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, think about all those things that God has used you to do. And those are amazing. We can definitely celebrate those things. And I'm not trying to belittle them. But if we did them that long ago, are we still answering the call today as well? Is my question. Are we still answering the call today? Now, things might have changed a lot. I remember when I answered the call 30 years ago, where God had called me into doing some things, and I'd done some things. And 30 years ago is a long time ago for me. I wasn't married at that time, nor did I have kids. Life has changed drastically for me. I had a good golf game at the time. At least I thought I did. Now I don't. It's sad. But a lot of things have changed. But I know that my deepened relationship with him is changing me to answer the call more often, to listen to him more, to go after him more. Because isn't that what it's about? Isn't that what the Christian walk is about in a sense? It's for us to know him, to walk in relation with him here on earth. Yes, we get to spend eternity with him, which is amazing, wonderful. That is awesome we get to do that. But we shouldn't be just waiting for heaven. That's not how God wants us to live here on earth. We have things we have to do here. We have assignments. There's babies we have to pray for. There's people that we need to talk to. There's things here at this church we have to do. And it's not because we do them because we have to do them. If we're operating out of what we have to do, out of necessity, then we'll never be able to delight in the freedom and the fulfillment that He has for us. If it's always a chore, you can never delight in it. And when walking with Jesus is a chore, I worry. And I'd ask you to check your heart about that. Because it should never be that way. Now, sometimes we don't feel up to doing things. Sometimes, like, oh, I'm a little tired. I'm, you know, it's late at night. You're a little tired. You want to go to bed instead of pray or something like that. I mean, there's times like that. Okay, yeah. But when we don't want to enter in at all with Him, we don't have any fellowship with Him, it's time to check our hearts on that. Are we answering His call? One of my favorite times to answer His call is when I'm either driving in the road or driving in the road. Yeah, that's where most people drive, I think. At least I think so. We're driving on the road or or I'm at work or something like that. And then I will try to describe it the best way I can. I will just sense and hear Him in my spirit to say, hey, let's spend some time together. And I'm just overwhelmed by that. I'm like, and it's such an impression on my heart and on me. I'm just like, wow, it is huge. It's like I have to stop at work or while I'm driving for a moment. I mean, I'm focusing on the road and everything like that, but I'm just like, okay, He wants to spend time with me. And it's a wonderful thing. And then my enjoyment and my delight is, all right, Father, let's get together. Let's spend some time with each other. And sometimes if I'm in the car, I can do it right there. And it's wonderful. I'll put on some music, some praise and worship, and we'll have a blast. Sometimes I have to wait till I'm done with work, and I'm just like, okay. But it's interesting because when that happens, I start counting down work in a different way. You know, some of you people, I mean, let's be honest. We can be honest here. Some of you count down from work for different reasons. I mean, you're like, okay, I'm just waiting for this shift to be done. I'm ready to go home. I mean, and I don't blame you on that. I don't blame you at all because I'd rather be at home doing what I want to do than be somewhere where I'm not really as engaged as much. Let's put it like that. Or as happy about being. I mean, I'm happy that the Lord has given me a job and things like that, but I'm not as excited about doing what I want to do. But then I start getting excited because I'm like, 2 more hours, 1 more hour, 15 minutes, 5 minutes. And I start counting down that time. And I'm like, yes, in 10 minutes, in 5 minutes, in 3 minutes, I'll be at a place where I can go and spend some time with Him. And there is nothing better than saying, all right, God, here I am. I'm setting aside this time for You. I know that You're calling me. I'm answering the call, and I want to spend some time with You. And that can be in your Bible reading. That can be in praise and worship. That can be in just listening, being still before God. There's no wrong way of spending time with Him. There's no wrong way. Just spending time with Him. That's what it is. And I just get to spend some time with Him like, yes, this is what I'm talking about. Do we answer the call? And then when I get that time with Him, I'm overflowing with Him. Don't just spend time with Him just to be filled up. That's great. There's nothing wrong with being filled up, but use that time to be overflowing with Him. So that wherever you go, wherever your foot touches, wherever your area of influence is, you overflow out of His goodness, out of His grace on your life, out of the overflow of the miraculous, out of the overflow of kindness, out of the overflow of joy and love. Overflow in those things. Because that's when you're starting to impact people. If you just fill up, nothing's going to spill out. I mean, you'll pour out maybe, which is not a bad thing. But then the more you pour out, the less you have. God didn't call us just to be cups of holding things. He called us to be overflowing fountains. So that it doesn't matter what we spill over, the Lord's still depositing more and more and more in us. Are we going to answer the call? Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I want to give you a moment here with Him, an opportunity to respond. And maybe you're like, well, Pastor Van, I hear what you've been saying today. Yeah, maybe my relationship hasn't quite been what you're talking about. Like it used to be, or like I used to do more things for him, but I don't hear the call as much, or I let things get in the way of that call. I've got other things to do. And I need to answer the call when he does. Some of you might be like, yes, I understand what you're saying, Pastor Van. I want to go deeper in that call. Just go deeper and deeper and deeper and let him use me and be overflowing in that relationship. I just want to pray for those responses and anyone else that has even a little different response. Some people might be a little more upset with God. Like, God, I mean, I heard your call, but I haven't done anything. And, you know, I don't know. My situations have changed, and I don't feel like you love me as much anymore. I don't feel like that you talk to me at all. I want to pray for you, too. So, Father, right now, I thank you for every person here. I thank you, Father, that you want relationship, you value relationship for everyone here, that there is a reason why you died the most gruesome, horrible death on the cross 2,000 years ago, and so you could have relationship with everyone in this building, personally relationship with them. Not just a God up there in the clouds somewhere where you can have a personal, long-standing relationship with Him. Lord, I thank you right now that you are going to talk like you've been doing. You're going to call, but you're going to give us ears to hear and hearts to be able to sense your speaking, your calling, and that we will answer. That no matter our circumstances, no matter what's happened in the past, some things good, some things bad, but all things work to the glory of God and for those that love Him. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, right now that you're going to continue to do great things in our lives. But not just great things, Father, that we would pray over babies and they would be healed instantaneously. That we would pray over people and they would be healed instantaneously in this house. That we'd be able to give words of encouragement or gifts of encouragement. That we'd be able to be so overflowing that we would have finances more than we've ever had before and be able to give away things that we couldn't be able to give away. That we would have such an abundance, Father, we'd be able to give away cars, we'd be able to give away plots of land, that we'd be able to give away hundreds of dollars and things like that. But also, not so that we just give away material things, but we able to give you your relationship, your love to others, which is the most important thing we could ever give. That we'd be able to give away our time, which is very precious. And we give it to the people that need it, Father. Little ones, older ones, middle-aged ones. That we'd be so overwhelmed with your grace, with your goodness, with your love, that we'd have to give it out. Lord, I thank you right now for what you're doing in this house. Such amazing things. Continue to do it, oh God. Continue to do it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just want to encourage every one of you guys. Don't settle. That is one of the worst things you can do as a Christian, just to settle and just to some type of routine where you're only getting what you need and that's it. Go after him for the overflow. Go after him for the abounding. Go out for him. Be like a fountain, just flowing over. And wherever you're dripping on, or whoever is around, you're like, wow, you really do love Jesus, don't you? Yes, I do, and I'm very proud of it. Let us be overflowing in how we use our words, we use our actions, how we use this life. Because that one day that we stand before him, and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Boy, that's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing right there. I'm going to be there one day, and I pray everyone comes with me because I'm going after him. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going after him. I want him not even to say that. I want him to say, Van, I'm so finally happy I get you up here. Man, I've been waiting a long time. I know you had some stuff to do there on earth, and you did such a good job down there. Come on up here. I got some great things for you to do up here, some great experiences. You did such a good job. Man, talk about encouraging. The maker of heavens and the earth, the master of all, the God of the universe, says, I've been so looking forward to getting you up here. Whew. Wow. But we have stuff to do here on earth, though. We need to finish what he's asked us to do here. And he loves people. He loves people. And some people are not as easy to be with than others. It's true. But he loves people. And he wants us to rub off on people. Rub off his love and his goodness. Amen? Yes. Amen. Will you guys be encouraged today? Be blessed. And if he calls, answer. Because it's a good thing. Blessings to you guys.